PetFest 24, presented by Subaru, is back October 27th at Rockwell Park in the East End. The event runs from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring your four-legged friends to meet vendors, participate in costume contests, and get photos with Santa. Stop by any Subaru dealer for complimentary tickets. For more information, go to 937thefan.com. All right, Hokie, we continue our conversation with two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Hoke. What do the Giants, other than Dexter Lawrence and a decent defense, you know, what do they present offensively that causes you any concern whatsoever?
Well, if I have to dig deep, I think this their rookie Malik Nabers is a great. He's going to be a really good receiver in the NFL. I think he's on the rise. You know, 39 catches for 427 yards after seven games. I just think right now that this whole team is handicapped. They're just not playing good football. That's why they're 2-5. I mean, and it's just really what happened last week against, you know, just getting whooped last week by the Eagles, and how it happened, 28-3, giving up eight sacks, getting just annihilated in the run game. There's nothing really that scares me about this Giants team. I mean, you got to play the game, and they're professional football players. But when you ask me, what stands out to me? Nothing really, to be honest.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's sure the way it looks. All right, let's get to Danny Smith. That was a great scene after the Steelers got ripped off on their first block kick the other night by a bad call. Then they get one, and everybody goes crazy on the sidelines, and Danny Smith just in euphoria. He's a lot of fun to watch. So I want to ask you two questions about that. What you know about Danny Smith and the players' love for him, and then what is the key to all these block kicks?
Let me tell you something. So Danny Smith is beloved. I know Danny Smith really, really well. He's a great man. He's a firecracker. He is, again, just been in the NFL for so long, has a ton of experience, and he's seen so much. But these players on the Steelers team love Danny Smith. They love everything about him. The way that he coaches the players, the way that he prepares, the way that he relates to you, and then in the game, just his energy and enthusiasm, it's everything you want in a special teams coach, and these players are playing out of their minds for Danny Smith because of their love for him. And so I was there last week talking with him. He's just a great guy, and he gets it. Joe, he gets the game. He gets how to relate to players. What it takes, there's so many variables when it comes to special teams play. Being lined up right, being set up right, paying attention to detail, right? Understanding what a team's going to try to do to you. Danny helps the Steelers prepare for all the situations. And then there's on the other side, too, it's a lack of preparation for another team. Maybe they have a below-the-line coach, or, you know, it could be in terms of execution, a low kick. It could be this guy, just a focus, just whatever it is, Joe. The reality is that Danny Smith is so much far above other coaches and special teams in the NFL. That's why you're seeing the success, and the Steelers buying into that is why you're seeing so many block kicks. You're seeing so many strategic advantages in these games. It's exciting to watch.
Hokie, forgive me for not knowing the answer to this question. Did you have a block kick or two in your career?
No, I haven't. Listen, I'm a 6'2" guy. You look at the guys that are blocking these kicks. These guys are like Goliath out there. I mean, Loudermouth a couple weeks ago, and then you have, you know, then this week you have Dean Lowry getting that. Then those pods up. You have Cam Hayward doing them in the past. Then you have the quick guys coming off the edge, right? The junk call that took away the big block by Minka. It's just these tall guys get their paws up and get in the way of these kicks.
By the way, that was a horrible call. New York said as much to Tomlin, admitting it after the game. I think it would be fun if guys were allowed to do that. Yeah, you're allowed to catapult yourself over the line and use other players as leverage. What's the point of that rule? Why can't you do that?
Well, if I try to put my thinking cap on and think, okay, why? I mean, I think it's a garbage call. There's no question about it. But I think what happens is you have the offensive. I've been a guy who's been on that offensive line. I've been one of the edge guys to get down. You got to lean down, because if you don't get down and get low like they do right now, kind of taking a step in and leaning against the hip of the guy inside of you, those D linemen are so low, they're going to get underneath you and blow you up. And so if you can't get low, I mean, if you have to get low to stop those guys, then how do you also get high to get to the guys that are jumping high? So it's really, it's a really big disadvantage for these guys. And so I can see them not letting them use them as a body because they have to get low to get underneath these D linemen that are rooting them out. And so to me in that place, Minka did not use them to catapult himself, to leverage himself. He was jumping over. It's more like putting his hands down, and he barely even touched the backs of those linemen. It was just to kind of keep balance as he was coming down. And I think it was just the wrong use of that call, that penalty.
I thought the call on Ogunjobi early in the game stunk. You can't hear the. First of all, you couldn't hear any of the whistles. Second of all, it didn't look that egregious to me. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, here's where I will tell you what I think. It wasn't consistent across the game. There were two other times in the game where the Jets threw down a Najee Harris, or threw down a receiver. I think it was George Pickens threw him down after the whistle, and there was no flag. So if you're going to make that call with Ogunjobi early, be consistent throughout the game, or don't make that call on Ogunjobi. That's where I have beef, right? Be consistent with how you're going to call something, or don't call it at all.
One more on the special teams, because there have been years where the Steelers are a little bit leaky in some areas of special teams. This year, by every measurement, they're the best or one of the best special teams in the league. They've been downright violent in kick coverage. I mean, they're crushing people. What is the mentality of a good special teams player? I remember guys like Kiesel and Hines early in their careers were just ferocious covering kicks.
Putting the right guys out there. And that's what Danny Smith does. I mean, Danny Smith, is, again, been at this a long time. He understands what they need. And I've talked with Danny, and he knows what kind of guys need to be out there to be successful in this new way of kickoffs. And, you don't put out you try not to put a receiver out there. Those guys aren't nasty. You've got to be nasty. You get on a block, get off a block, get to the kick returner and take them down. You've got to have more of that physical specimen type. If you can have a D lineman, if you can have a linebacker, if you can have some of those guys or like a Connor Hayward, who's a guy who's a do-it-all kind of guy, those are the kind of guys that you want out there in the way that they're doing the kickoffs now. So it's understanding the personnel, how to set them up, and then having the ability to think outside the box on how to defeat blocks, how to get a take away angles, and then put a hat. Again, the kind of guys you put out there, putting a hat on these guys. And these guys are playing with a purpose. And they're playing with a nasty attitude. And it all comes with Danny Smith.
Chris Hoke on the hotline right now, joining me until the top of the hour. All right, let's go back to the defense for a moment. What did the Jets do to take away T.J. Watt? And they did as much as any team ever does. And what does that open up for other people, like Alex Highsmith?
Well, and I thought Alex Highsmith... Alex Highsmith is elite in terms of run defense, and his pass rush is top notch. It's high level. You'd always want to see Alex Highsmith getting more sacks. This game, he had a lot of pressures on the quarterback. He hit Rodgers a lot, and I think that's because they're putting a lot of focus on stopping T.J. Watt and what they're doing. A lot of what everybody else has been doing, right? They're putting an extra tight end out. They're putting them wide, and then they're chipping them with the tight end, and then the tackle's there waiting for him. So he's got to defeat two blocks. And Aaron Rodgers is getting the ball out so quickly, which opens up other opportunities for batted passes and get the hands up with these big defensive linemen. And that's what teams are going to do. And here's the thing about T.J. Watt, Joe. T.J. Watt, he didn't have the big play in this game, but what he has the ability to do is he keeps coming. I was at the game. They were chipping him. I saw a couple times where he got lit up by a bat coming out of the backfield and chipping him. And he on time got flipped around, foot knocked on his back when he was rushing. And T.J. Watt just got up and went back to the huddle. Didn't say a word. Didn't look at anybody. Just got up in the huddle. Then he comes back the next play, and the tackle literally tackles him to the ground. No flag. T.J. Watt gets up, goes back to the huddle, doesn't say a word. This guy is just a machine. He just keeps coming because he knows that in a game, if he plays 65 snaps, and he gets blocked 60 times because of the strategic and schematic way of blocking him. He comes in five plays, and he has a tackle for a loss. He causes a fumble. He gets a sack. He's in the MVP conversation. Those are big-time plays.
Yeah.
And so he's just going to keep coming. He gets it. He's going to keep coming. And when he comes, and they don't chip him, or they leave him one-on-one on an island, that's when he's going to seize the opportunity to make a big play for the Steelers.
Man, it's nice when you're, I know there's offensive line injuries, but defensively, when you've got your guys for the most part and Cam's playing at a high level, you can picture this team doing something, Hokie. So let me ask you, where do you put them right now in the AFC? And specifically, I guess, start with the division. Do you rate the Ravens still higher than them? Where are the Steelers in the division and the conference, in your opinion?
Well, let me tell you something. I dislike the Ravens as much as anybody, right? I've had so many big-time games against them. I've lost big games against them. I've won big games against them. But I also understand the makeup of that organization. Very, very similar to the makeup of the Pittsburgh Steelers and how they want to go about their business and how they want to attack teams offensively and defensively. I've thought a lot about this. They're a scary team. Let's just be honest. With Lamar Jackson, threw five tutties on Monday night, five touchdowns, no interceptions, right? Then you have this dual threat because you don't know, is Lamar Jackson going to keep the ball? Is Derrick Henry going to get it? And so it's the indecision that allows, you know, Derrick Henry to go for 169 yards, 11.27 yards a carry, okay? I mean, and so Derrick Henry's gotten his mojo back. This team looks scary defensively. They went in. And they did a great job in Tampa against the 4-2 Buccaneers team, who everybody talked about Baker Mayfield playing lights out, and a good team. I think the Steelers, it's 1A, 1A, 1. I get 1A, 1B, and it's right there. And to me, I don't know who's the better of the teams, but these two teams right now, they're on a collision course for their game coming up in the second half of the season.
All right, Hokie, give us a prediction, the exact final score, and the player of the game, if you'd be so kind.
I love that. The exact final score, right? I just think that the New York Giants are at a disadvantage in this game. They don't have the personnel. I think that their offensive line, they're playing with backup tackle, which really hurt them last week with the pass rush of the Eagles. Again, getting 8 sacks last week. I still think that, you know, if you're going to try to double team T.J. Watt and take him out of the game, Alex Highsmith showed me a lot last week about his get off. He looked much quicker off the ball. So I think the Steelers defense is going to get after these Giants. I mean, the Giants are 32nd in the NFL in terms of giving up run yardage per play in the NFL. The Steelers defense, their rushing offense is on the rise the last 2 weeks, particularly. So I think this is going to be a Steelers just continue to building confidence in this game. I see the Steelers winning this game, taking advantages of the weaknesses of the Giants. And I see the Steelers winning this game. I think it'll be another comfortable win for the Steelers. I hate saying that, but I think the Steelers are going to win this game by, I would say, a 24-14 game.
The Steelers have not scored 30 points in 3 straight games, Hokie, since 2015. You were practically still around then. That's an unbelievable stat, isn't it?
It is an unbelievable stat. And everybody's excited because I think what we saw last week, it's exciting to see what happened in the second half, the way that Russell Wilson was throwing the football. I don't think everybody can say, oh, I told you so, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is everybody was nervous. And Coach Tomlin, like he said, he was a lone ranger. He made that decision. There were a lot of people in and out of that building on the south side that wanted Justin Fields to stay in. He knew what he had. And the reality was you saw the balls thrown. The balls that were thrown, he put balls in positions where only Steeler receivers could catch the ball. And so that's why I kind of gave him a pass a little bit on some of those balls that were in the dirt. Because sometimes if you watch the balls that he connected on, when he's rolling out, he throws the ball low. He puts the ball in places where only his players can catch the ball. And that's something that caught my eye. And that's what keeps the ball out of the defender's hands and helps you score points. So I can see the Steelers put up a lot of points in the second half of the season.
Hokie, you're one of the nicest men who has ever lived. Thanks for coming on a Wednesday.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
See you, brother.
That's Chris Hoke. Great stuff, as always. 50-minute mark on The Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Some interesting news this week, potential news out of Cleveland yet again, regarding a certain star player for the Browns. I'll tell you about that at the top of the hour. Then we have the big boy, Marcus Cabali, at 12:30 of the Pat McAfee Show. Never shy with an opinion, is he, Limits?
Not once.
Including that. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. High of 75 today with sunny skies. I still think that an undersold story is the leadership over there at the Steelers regarding veteran players with Pickens. I really do believe Todd, when he called the PM team, I think this happened. I think that veteran leaders on the Steelers followed Todd's advice. I really think this happened, Limits. Remember when Todd called the PM guys a few weeks ago and offered this?
Does anybody anymore in a locker room, like, you know, TJ or Cam, come up to him and say, hey, what are you doing?
I can't get enough of that. Can you?
Must have happened, Joe. Something must have happened.
Can you just get the last part? When he says, hey, what are you doing? Because I think that could translate over a number of different topics. I really
What are you doing?